I wonder, what do you do with a present that people often leave unwrapped and under the tree? Let's have a confession. Who hasn't opened any presents yet? Really? Wow. So who waits until after the Queen's speech? Oh, there's a few of you. No, okay. Is it after the service? Before Christmas dinner or after Christmas dinner? After Christmas dinner. You clearly have no little people in your house. You have no little people in your house. So here we go. Here's the dilemma. What do you do when you get given a gift on Christmas Day and you're thinking, quite frankly, that's going to end up on eBay later? How do you master disappointment? My dad's mastered this one. He's Welsh, obviously, and he says, well, well, well. Maybe you could pull that one off. Or maybe you've heard this, they don't make them like this anymore. And there's a reason for that. Or how about this, if you're really in trouble, I really don't deserve this. You know, I wonder what you say to God about the gift that he gives us that first Christmas. Or is it like that video, we leave it unopened, uninvestigated, we don't really think about it. Well, we're going to just spend the next 10 minutes unwrapping the present, having a look at the gift. You see, the angel said to the shepherds this, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. The shepherd said, actually the angel said to the shepherd, if you do not think the gift that God gives at Christmas is the best gift you have ever seen or heard about, you have clearly not understood what the gift is. You see, there's two things we're told about the gift that we heard in the reading. And the first one is this. God has become one of us. Have a look at verse 11. It's there on the screen. How is this baby described? He is the Messiah, the Lord. The promise in the first half of the Bible is that God would send a king who would bring an eternal kingdom, would bring peace. And the clarity of the New Testament is that the king was also the Lord. He was God come down. He was God become one of us. As we look into the face of the baby in the manger, we are looking at the face of the creator of the universe. Now, I've got a special challenge, a special little Christmas Day challenge that I'm going to need someone to do. To volunteer for. It's called the Christmas Cannonball Death Run. Does anyone fancy having a go at the Christmas Cannonball Death Run? I wonder if there's anyone out there. I mean, I don't know if the name tempts you. Gary. Gary looks a willing. Gary. Come on up, Gary. Right. Can I just check? Do we have any first aiders in the room? Yeah, anyone good at the hind limb maneuver? Good. That's quite important. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and send a Malteser down this, what's this called? Tape measure. It's been a long day. It's been a long day already, Gary. Right, and we're going to see, this tape measure goes to 8 meters. So we're going to try and send a Malteser down the tape measure, 8 meters, and land it in Gary's mouth. What do you think? Keep going, Gary. It's only 6 meters. 7. Right, hold on. Wait, a little bit further. You've got 30 centimeters. Okay, stop there. Right, okay. Are you happy being there, Gary? I think we're happy. Do you want to know? We're not going to be able to get in the middle there, are we? Oh, wait. Oh, watch out. He's getting carried away. This Malteser is starting to melt in my fingers, so I'm going to go with another one. Right. I think we need a drum roll. Where's the drummer? Okay, we need a drum roll. Right, are you ready, Gary? Right, let's have a look. Is it going to launch in his mouth? It's going. Ooh. Wow. 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 Well, that Malteser had to travel a very long way, but it is not as far as the distance God had to travel to become one of us. Not in terms of miles, but in terms of humility. It's amazing. The God who spoke Neptune into being. Do you know Neptune is 4 times bigger than the Earth? Do you know how long it takes the Earth to travel around the sun? 365 days. 365 sleeps to the next Christmas. If you lived on Neptune, 352, thank you. Six, okay. It's been an early start for me, people. Do you know, on Neptune, it takes 164 years to go around, once around the sun. It is a long way away from us. The God who spoke the sun and Neptune and Pluto and the Milky Way into being became a dependent, gurgling little child. Now, if I was God and I was going to become one of us, at least I would come and be born in a palace with a lot of bling, wouldn't you? You know, the distance God has to become one of us, and yet he is found in a feeding trough for animals. What humility. What humility. What a long way to come. You see, as we see the God who comes at Christmas, the Son of God in Jesus, we see a God that you want to follow, that you want to know about. Here is a God you can trust. Here is a God that you can actually know about because he came into time and space, living human history. You can pick up an eyewitness copy of one of the books of the Bible and see for yourself. He became one of us. But the question is, why? Why did God become one of us? Well, have a look at verse 11. Here he is. It says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born." You see, God came to save. He came to rescue us. So the Bible tells us we've all got a relationship with God. All of us. It's just a bad one. We've made a mess of it. It's what the Bible calls sin. You see, God made us. And the highest calling of any of our lives is to know him, to live life for him, to let him be in charge of our lives, and yet we push him out. We don't want him telling us what to do, and so we'll give him a little bit of Christmas Day, but the rest of life, well, that's all mine. Now, I don't know who is making Christmas dinner in your house. They are probably not here, actually, but maybe you are, and you're here, and you head home for your traditional Christmas lunch, and the chef appears, and let's have a look. What might the chef look like? Probably a bit like this. They come out, they've been slaving all morning, and they bring out the meal, and there is succulent turkey meat, so succulent you have to cover it with bread sauce and gravy and cranberry sauce to make it taste of something. And then there's pigs in blanket, and there's stuffing, glorious stuffing. And the, I mean, who's excited? And the sprouts. Who's excited about the sprouts? And then you're sat at the table, and they've been slaving, and they appear, and you eat the food, and you're eating it, and you want seconds, and they bring you more, and you have seconds. And then you say nothing to the cook. You ignore them. And they think, surely it's going to come in a moment. They're going to say thank you. And you don't even talk to them. And then you get to the end of the meal. You think, I couldn't eat anything more. And you go and play with your lightsaber and find that you don't have AA batteries. Now that would be bang out of order, wouldn't it? You know, why has the chef cooked the Christmas dinner? They've cooked it to enjoy it in relationship with you. You know, they actually want to spend time with you. They love you. They care for you. You see, the universe, if you like, is the Christmas meal that God the chef has made for us. The friends, the family, the beautiful sunsets. He made it for us to enjoy with him. And yet we push him out. We never say thank you. And actually, to do that is wrong. God loves us. He made us the world to enjoy with him. And yet, as we push him out and we push him out, and we say, God, I don't want you now. One day when we die and meet him, he'll confirm that for eternity. He'll push us out for eternity. Well, the baby who grew up and lived a perfect life died a death on a cross to save us. You see, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was saying, my God, why have you cut me off? See, Jesus was cut off so we would never have to be. You see, that is what he came to do. He came to die to save us so that we wouldn't have to be cut off for the way we've treated God, so we can be friends with God and forgiven by him. Reconnect with the God who made us, so we can look forward to a future where we don't have to fear death and what lies beyond it. You see, the angels said, this is the best news the world has ever heard. God has become one of us, and whoever you are, whatever you've done, whether you're non-religious or feeling like you're a no-hoper in life, or maybe you're an exceptional elite and you're doing brilliantly, he says, for all people, you can be brought back into relationship with the God who made you. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought about it as an adult. We run a course that's starting in January the 14th, Tuesday night here, where we're looking at some of the eyewitness evidence. You can come and have a look into the Christian faith and ask your questions. You can just sit and listen if you want to and say, okay, is Jesus the best news the world has ever heard? Or maybe why don't you do this? And we've got these books called The Gift. They kind of flow out of that video we saw at the start. The Gift, we'd love you to take a copy. Do you know what? In the cathedral yesterday, I went 2 days ago. We took the girls for a little run around, as you do in the cathedral. And this was in the bookshop for £3. And it is our gift to you for nothing. It's a great little book that investigates, again, talks about the Christmas message. You're going to watch a lot of trash over the next few days. Why not spend an hour and read something that's actually thought-provoking and interesting? Take a copy of that. That's for you. We'd love to give you that. Well, look, I don't know whether you've seen the new Star Wars film. I don't know if you've seen it. I did the other night. And it was a lot of fun. Mark Hamill, who plays Luke Skywalker, he was outside the premiere in London of the first of the three. And he said this, I think people need this film in their lives. They need escapism. The world around them is so dire. This is 2 hours of respite from all out. And do you know what? He's right, isn't he? The world is dark and murky, and you think, how is it going to be solved? And actually, seeing Star Wars may numb the pain, but the message of the first Christmas is this, is the real God has come into our reality to bring the profoundest solution to our deepest problem that is not just 2 hours of respite. It is glorious. It's relationship with God now and relationship with God that will last for eternity. The chef who made this universe to enjoy it with him. Now, I wonder if you've ever come to him. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank you that that first Christmas, it really was good news of great joy that would be for all the people, whether it be shepherds or bankers or policemen or whoever we are, mums, dads, grandparents, aunties, uncles, whoever we are, Father, thank you that Jesus came to rescue us from our sin so we could have relationship with you. And Father, we pray this Christmas amidst all the madness and joy and fun that we might not forget the Savior who is born, and may we come to know the gift that he has brought salvation and forgiveness and relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.